This episode was created on unceded Coast Salish territories of the Lekwungen and Wissanic people. CFUV has been around for over 30 years. In that time, we have worked with many radio hosts, all with their own unique experiences and stories. I'm setting out to find how CFUV has affected its community and to get an inside story on CFUV's DJs. I'm Max Monday, and this is Behind the Mic.
I'm here today with Allie, the music director at CFUV. How's it going?
Good.
Allie Lopez has been working with CFUV for around 5 years. Her start at the station included hosting Back Alley Jams, a show that preceded the now-famed Basement Closet Sessions. However, Back Alley Jams was all recorded, produced, and hosted by Allie.
I think it was a lot of it was out of conviction because the program director at the time, Patrick McKenna, he was a really fun guy. Mm-hmm. He was very suspicious of my ability to make it happen on a weekly basis and initially was like, let's try it bi-weekly. I'm like, no, I'll make it happen. And then if like I can't get a band, I'll just, play music. And he's like, okay, well, we'll give it a run and then we'll see how it goes. Thinking in his head it was going to be a disaster and we were going to have to cut the show. And lo and behold, a year in and I was having band live content every week. And yeah, it was definitely difficult sometimes because bands would show up late and so I have to go on air and then they show up and I have to set up the microphones and sound check them while playing songs and running back and forth. So there was a couple times where it was like pretty frantic. Most of the time the sound tech department at the time had like about 4 people involved, Jeb, Joyce, and Matt, and myself. And we were the only trained techs. And so occasionally they'd help me out. They'd come in and do the teching while I hosted. We'd do it together really quickly. And then I'd go in and host. And sometimes it was just me. So it was definitely super fun. Mm-hmm. That's one thing I'll definitely, as stressful as it was at some points, it was the most fun I think I've ever had, and it felt really great to be able to just do it all myself. I was like in complete control of like if something went wrong, I knew exactly where it went wrong and how, and I had no one to blame but myself if something didn't work. So it was kind of like a weird like bittersweet thing of like feeling really empowered to use all the equipment and learn and be excited about learning sound stuff while also hosting a show and showcasing music of friends or people I knew. And so it was just a good time.
Do you have any one show that really stood out to you in regards to like something that was fun to do or something that was like really difficult?
For some reason, the band that is now called Bonehoof, members of that, the lead guitarist of that, used to have a surf rock band, cover band, and they were a 3-piece, and it was just something that stuck out to me, because for the beginning portion of the show, it was a lot of the live content that I had was mostly, the like singer-songwriter, coffee shop circuit people, open micers and stuff. I was new to Victoria, so I was just slowly immersing myself into the music community. And I mean, it has so much diversity around here. And there was a lot of like alternative bands and like more folky bands. And then was getting into the ska reggae scene, so I had some ska bands in and stuff like that. And then was starting to get into the rock world when I was like, I'm so over this. I'm done doing this show. But I feel like that was kind of the beginning of my mental shift in terms of the community I would finally settle in and fit into. Mm-hmm. And I think the community that I felt the most fulfilled being a part of. And it was weird because it's such a classic format, like surf rock. It's so old, but also it was like the first time, I think now it's kind of having its revival, but it was the first time that I had heard live surf done well. Mm-hmm. Like, it was so tight and it was so on point, and the reverb was exactly how it should be, and like the drummer was incredible. And it was the first time that I think we really had fun miking amps and stuff like that too, like really nice amps. And like, I don't know, it was the first time we felt like we were using the space and the room and the content format of the show to really showcase something we were excited about. So that's definitely the performance that stood out the most. And it sounded great. Matt did all the sound, and it just sounded so cool. And to this day, that recording still exists in our library as a digital EP of like...
The band Alley Recounts, the Loose Cannons, released their Live at CFUV EP in the summer of 2011. This track is called Runaway. After some time hosting Back Alley Jams, a transition began in Alley's life. She wanted to find a way to involve herself with a different Victoria music scene. The outlet she found was in the form of her own company called Animal Productions.
I think I was just realizing that there wasn't really something that was clicking for me with like the musical genres I was exploring in Victoria. Mm-hmm. And realizing that my entire playlist was all these other bands that weren't coming in to play. And I remember doing Freak Heat Waves first in studio on my friend's show at the time. Christine was hosting this show called The Party Program, 10 to midnight. And they came in at 10 at night, and it was so fun. We were just like, everything was off, the lights were all off. And yeah, definitely the first time Freak Heat Waves ever played at CFUV. And it was probably, they're a really new band. I think they had only played one or two shows at that time. And it was really cool. It was also one of the first times we filmed a band playing. Johnny came in and was like, filmed it. And so it was really fun, a hangout late at night with all of us. And I think those sorts of things happening, and then Slam Dunk coming into play, and then bands like Open Relationship coming into play. There was like a period of time where I wasn't doing a show and I was mostly dedicating my time to recording live bands and doing like things behind the scene here. And I think that's when like it just all clicked in and was like, this is the scene I want to be a part of, or this is the community I want to engage with. And so I started going to a lot more shows and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so that's where you made the connections for Animal then, is like at these local shows?
Yeah, I don't know if I had zero connections when I started did Animal. I don't know why. This is just like, I wonder if it's just like a nurturing nature that I have, but mm-hmm. I've always felt like I needed to support or help. Maybe not help is probably not the right word. But yeah, support art being created, mm-hmm. musical art being created. And if I'm enthusiastic about the music being created by people that are, you know, just around me, I think it's, I don't know. I guess I just like really got a bug for live content and was really aware of the fact that I could make it happen and could manipulate the sort of live content that was happening in Victoria. And I was like, sure. I'll do that. And so I just kind of, yeah, let's just do it. And then I remember asking a friend to do it with me, and she was like, yeah, okay. We had no idea what we were doing at all. Like I said, we had zero connections. Our first ever show was in Cinecenta because I worked at the Munchie Bar, and it just like made sense. And it was easy for us to rent equipment from here because we both worked here. And I mean, CFUV has been probably the main connector or the main connection I've ever had to make any of this happen in terms of the giving me the know-how and like knowledge of how to put on shows and how to make live music happen, I guess.
Yeah. I want to go back for a second.
Yeah.
A show at the Munchie Bar as the first Animal Production show. That sounds amazing.
At the Cine Center. Yeah, it was so we were like came into this being like, we want to change the way live music happens, because all the shows were like, you know, just shows and stuff. And we wanted to create a larger stage for these local bands that were playing in basements and people's houses and stuff. And I mean, they were still also organizing shows. Like, the one thing too is like, the music scene in Victoria has always been incredibly independent, and bands have toured themselves, released content themselves on physical formats, and also been organizing shows for themselves for ages. It's never really needed a production company, and nor would I could argue it never did even when it existed. But I definitely wanted to create a more alive music experience for people that wasn't like what Atomic was doing at the time.
In the summer of 2015, Ali teamed up with Phoenix Bain, a long-standing board member of CFUV and another member of Animal Productions, to create Goat Festival. The weekend-long event featured over 40 artists, many of which were local. Of course, this project would be a lot of work, especially for only two people.
It was honestly the hardest thing I've ever had to do, and I feel so glad that we did it. Like, as much as it sucks, and we are both still very much in debt from it still, it was, I don't know, there's something about going through the trenches with your friends that makes something so much more memorable. And I don't know, we had a blast, even though we were incredibly stressed the whole time. And at the end, it took a little while for it to kick in that we did that. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty funny, because it's actually what we would say to each other. We'd look over at each other and we'd be like, we did this. When bands were playing, or we could see that people were having a really good time, or this really good band was on, and you know, we have a moment to sit down and you're just like, it's happening, we did it. So it was a great feeling. It was so dumb that how much work we had to do, and so dumb that we did it all by ourselves, but also great that we did it all by ourselves. Like, that's one accomplishment that I'm definitely proud of, and I'm proud of Phoenix for being there and sticking through it and not quitting on me. And I can't believe we did it.
With that Pretty Good, Not Bad, tell me a bit about it. That's kind of the transition from, like, Goat was last year, and now it's gotten into Pretty Good Productions.
Yeah, so essentially Animal's dead. So mm-hmm. I killed Animal after Goat. I was like, I've been doing it for many years. It's a very thankless thing to do promotions, especially independent promotions in Victoria, unless you're like a mogul who wants to make tons of money, and there's just easy ways to do that. That's the easiest thing you can do. But doing it the way we were doing it, in which we were putting the artists first and paying out of pocket sometimes to make sure people got enough money to tour back home or whatever, it just became too much of a financial strain and also a time strain. I wanted to have a life, and I couldn't for the past 5 years. And so I kind of ended it. And then Chris, who is a lovely person, Chris Long, he's wonderful, approached Phoenix at... during Atomic, actually, during Flandia, Phoenix was volunteering, doing some stage managing, and he was at an event, and he was like, hey, you put on Goat. And he started talking to her about it, and then I started working at Ditch, where Chris also used to work at Ditch years ago, and he came in, and he was like, I was talking to Phoenix, and I didn't realize you were also, like, part of Goat. And I was like, yeah. So he was like, so do you guys want to maybe talk about doing something new? And we both kind of, like, our ears peaked, and we had already told each other never doing this again. But then, you know, you kind of, like, you can't say no. And so we were like, sure, yeah, let's talk about it. We had a meeting with him, and it was essentially at the core of what the spirit of Animal was that we wanted to be a game changer. We wanted to do things in a way that no one did, and we did do some, like, arts integration and stuff like that, but it was never fully realized that that want or that vision of making really innovative alternative content in Victoria. And Chris just came at us with, like, that's the only thing we do. For all intents and purposes, it's an entire new entity that essentially grew out of the ashes of the spirit of what Animal was trying to do. And yeah, it's just so great that it's, like, manifesting into something so wonderful. And, like, I was working with them on it for the first few months, and then I don't know, I just have like other plans and I'm moving away, so it just wasn't really realistic for me to be involved all the way through, but definitely still there as like number one supporter, and like I love everyone involved, and yeah, so it's basically at the core of what Animal's intentions were. It's almost blossomed into a like fully formed idea and thing, and it's pretty cool. It's nice to see.
During her time at CFUV, Ali has certainly left a mark in the Victoria music scene, both with her aid in creating a weekly live performance show to bring local bands to the airwaves, and with her hard work in creating a music festival for Victorians. We will leave you today with Sunday, Someday by Feitre. Catch their performance at Pretty Good Not Bad on Saturday, June 18th. You can find out more about Pretty Good Not Bad by visiting prettygoodnotbad.ca. This episode of Behind the Mic featured a discussion with Ali Lopez, music director at CFUV and host of Weird and Gilly, which airs Friday mornings between 8 and 9 a.m. To hear more episodes of Behind the Mic, visit soundcloud.com/CFUV.